What's going on, guys? It's your boy Ed with Party Nerds Gamer Central. Now, normally we are energized selves, of course, myself, AJ, Seth are in the studio. Dev is behind the boards tonight as well. Normally, we would be getting into a lot of the big gaming news that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. However, it is a very somber time right now in the gaming community. Desmond Amofa, a.k.a. Etika, who's a very popular streamer on Twitch and YouTube, highly regarded for his love of Nintendo and a lot of the big announcements, especially with Smash Brothers. He passed away at age 29 last week. By suicide. A lot of the story has been made about his mental state as well, how social media influence and anonymity and a lot of other factors may have contributed for it. It's hard to really give kind of like a gut reaction in terms of like the new as the news broke and what happened, and especially with the week up to it, just knowing that he went missing and his belongings were found near the Manhattan Bridge. There was a lot. It was a very devastating time, just knowing what was going on with him as the year progressed up to this point. It's hard to put into words, I would say. What would you say, AJ? Kind of the same thing?
I mean, like, he was a icon in the Twitch and streaming and YouTube community. Like, no doubt, no doubt. And he was also really good friends with a lot of other Twitch streamers. Everyone, like, you know, loved him and, like, had nothing but high praises to say of him. But it was very, very, very clear that he had some serious mental issues that, like, you know, at some point in time, he might have tried to get addressed, and some people reached out and tried to get him the help he need, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. So it's sort of like, if you're an incredibly popular public, you know, figure, how do things, you know, get this bad so quickly, and how can you do so in such a popular way and still go through with it? Like, what was the timeline? What could have been done to prevent it? And what can we as a community do differently going forward to help prevent these type of, like, you know, tragedies? You know what I mean? Because, like, just a, like, a little backstory, months before, like, all the shit hit the fan, like, he deleted his entire YouTube channel by uploading porn on it.
Yeah.
Like, he basically hit the self-destruct button.
Yeah, he did.
During this time, he's making all these jokes about, like, you know, being God and, like, you know, like, you know, life doesn't matter. Like, you shouldn't be afraid of death. And he was, like, you know, hospitalized, like, two or three times. Mm-hmm. So it's like, at what point is enough enough to, like, you're really force him to get the help he needs? You know what I mean?
And it was a tumultuous situation, for lack of a better word. Just here, you know, with the self-destruction of the YouTube channel, the hospitalizations, the Instagram Live with the cops being at his building when he was taken away from his apartment, and just the way he was just being carried out and everything. It was just chilling each moment that you heard something that was going on with Etika and the situation he was going through, and just the fact that he was able to kind of return to society, even with every single alarm, flag, everything that was put up for him. It's hard to say what really failed him. Like, it's hard to really kind of, like, blame is kind of a hard word to really put this, you know, to put onto, you know, blaming for somebody else's death. But ultimately, it's hard to kind of put into words, like, where we should put the discussion point on. Is it anonymity on social media? Is it the medical facility that kept getting him and then kept releasing him as well? Is it you were showing me this, Seth, earlier. You were showing me the Keemstar interview as well, which happened a day after the police incident. So it's hard to really put into words, like, what factors contributed to it. Was it all of them? Was there a specific one breaking point? And then it just kind of devolved from there. It's hard to put into words.
There was a lot in that interview that Keemstar did with him. He definitely was not in the right state of mind. And the interview we watched was from a day after he got arrested. So there was just a lot. And I think the focus, a lot of people are blaming Keemstar for this. I would say I don't think it's directly his fault. It's kind of what Keemstar does. I don't like his channel. It's called Drama Alert, and he just covers YouTube and Twitch drama. And Etika definitely wasn't in the best frame of mind to be on that show, for one. Or to be honest, to even be out of the hospital at that point, I think. If he was talking the way he was talking, he was definitely going through something. And I think the focus needs to be on you know, mental health. Like, mm-hmm. people don't take care of their mental health enough in our current day and age. And Twitch and YouTube are really, really pressure-heavy platforms there's a lot of pressure to be putting out content and to be making content and to be appeasing the fans and doing everything you can. And especially Twitch, where, you know, we were just talking with our fellow party nerd here, and they were telling us, you know, they, if they want to do Twitch, you got to do it for 3 or 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
A day, every day. And there's no missing that. So it's a lot of, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. And that, if you already have problems with your mental health, you're just stacking that, man. You're just stacking it on top. So he, I don't know if there's anything anybody could have really done to prevent what happened.
Yeah.
And no, there's a lot of people who wish they could have. And I, you know, I wish we could have in one way or another. Everybody, I'm sure, you know, wishes they could prevent somebody from taking their life, but it's a really heavy thing to think about.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that people could do. It's like, you got to look at it from this standpoint. There's sometimes the same things that'll make you or break you, right? So it's like Twitch gives you a platform for you to become famous, make money, and do all this type of stuff. But then you're also subject to people's ridicule and all kinds of stuff like that. And you got to put up with that. You have the pressure of streaming 3 hours a day. I mean, work, you... 3 hours. How long do you have to go to work every day? How long?
I work, I'm at my job 9 hours a day.
Okay. So what happens is everybody has those pressures, but people take things different ways. There's another dude that would just be so happy and really just complete with, man, I stream for 3 hours, 4 hours a day. I do what I love. I play video games. People love me and they're cool. This guy might have needed a different kind of attention. And one thing that we're not thinking about is, when you see a person in a famous position, you only think of them in a famous position. That dude is a regular guy that goes home, takes shits, has a mom, dad, whatever. What's his family situation? The family is the one that deals with him, whether he's in the hospital, not the fans. It's not like the people that watch his YouTube stream are the ones talking to the doctors. There's things going on that we cannot even see. And we don't know what the situation was with family, what his true issues are, were these childhood issues that came forward. I told you guys from some of the stuff that you guys showed me that, and I need people to really listen to what I'm saying, that guy was a troll as well. Trolling is when you go online and you say things to get a reaction out of somebody, whether you mean them or don't mean them. I do not believe that that man really thought he was the Antichrist. Would you still have a mental condition to even say those things or upload porn onto YouTube and stuff like that? Yes. But it's not like I feel like he uploaded porn like he's so crazy that he doesn't realize what he's doing. No, he knew exactly. He was in enough of a sane mind to say, I'm going to get my YouTube page shut down in a explosive way.
He also knew that would be like permanent. He knew, but they wouldn't unban him at all, so there's no chance of him getting that back. He knew that.
It's like, so they're there. You know what to do. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of that Joker type of thing too. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he still has issues. But this guy, he needed attention in a certain way, and we would never be able to guess what that's from. We can't just say, why would he do something like that? He has all these adoring fans. We do not know that man's true struggles. We can only see the surface of it and see the good parts.
Yeah.
We do not know what that man goes through. You guys just explained to me that it's crazy pressure for him to stay on top by the amount of time that he has to put in. There's a lot of competition out there as well for this, like, Twitch.
You got to stay trending. We know that with the partners. You got to stay trending.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy. You know, right. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of streamers out there playing games they don't want to play because they know those games will get them views over games they enjoy.
Yeah.
That sucks. I don't ever want to end up in that position. I want to play things that we enjoy.
Right. So, So anything in regards to like Twitch and gaming and now social media that's kind of thrown into it is just so cutthroat. Like, just thinking about all the different factors that go into it. You hear about the stories in terms of Hollywood itself, like how Hollywood is just such a cutthroat industry with like singers, actors, all kinds of people in different industries, and just how, as if you have to find a way to like step on toes or just do anything you can to get popular, regardless of what your internal struggles are, what your personalities are, what your family is like, it doesn't matter because it's all about trying to get that subscription count, that engagement count. Mm-hmm. That's the gist that we're in right now with the early 2000s and with to now with video games, just because of how popular it's gotten. You hear about you know, you got the Overwatch League and all the esports rise.
They're building an arena in Philadelphia.
They are, yeah. Arena for in Philadelphia esports. Just for esports. The Overwatch League is coming to the Wells Fargo
Crazy.
Center. Just the pressures of just being in an industry that's A, cutthroat, and B, gaming itself is also highly competitive. So you have two different things that are going against each other, and just the fact that those who cannot put out unique content, because you see content creators, like a couple I follow, I'm wearing a t-shirt for like Game Theory, who puts their own spin on video games. You have like the Completionist as well, who's, you know, his shtick is playing games to 100%. So it's hard to kind of really stand out from the crowd unless you have such an overt personality. And we know Etika's personality before a lot of stuff happened was just his excitement, his passion. Those who knew him just saw this kind of like, yes, he had this raw emotion, but also any person he came up to, he was instantly nice to him. Every single person he hung out with at a convention, he shook his hand, had a conversation with them.
I have a friend who has three separate pictures with him.
Yeah.
And on the day that we found out that he passed, he posted all three on Facebook. And it's just sad. Like, this is somebody that I'll be honest, I didn't watch too many of his streams. I'm not big on watching Twitch streams. Yeah. I like playing games on Twitch sometimes. I like recording content, but I'm not big on watching Twitch.
Right.
I just don't have the time to do it these days. And this guy, I know I'm not going to name him, but he was really hurt, you know, when Etika died. Because he cared. Like, this is somebody that he's met that has made a difference in his life. And I know a couple other people who, like, would religiously watch his stream. So, and we also have to remember, like, not just, you know, the stress of competition, but also the stress of having that many people watch you every day. Like, your life is in plain view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That definitely will get to you, too. So,
yeah, the comments
being famous
and everything
is cool for
too.
The money, but...
Listen, the comments and everything, too, bro. Like... it doesn't matter. Video games is becoming something that is becoming so mainstream, right? Just like the comic book thing. You know, we were all comic book nerds and we didn't have that many people to talk about the stuff that we liked with. And now it's kind of like across the board, right? What do you think happens when they make that video game league in Philly or whatever like that? The same issues that come into regular sports, the women, the money, the ad space, the competition, it's going to be the same bullshit across the board. And I know also with the trolling, the way this guy, I told you, I believed it was trolling when he would say things like, you know, I'm the Antichrist, I'm going to bring death upon people and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't really think that dude meant that. I don't, and I would hope that he didn't mean that. I would almost rather that he was trolling, you know what I mean? But when people troll him as well, I'm sure people go on there, say crazy shit.
Yeah.
Bro, I know firsthand. You know, we know that when people go on the Party Nerds page, if they say something crazy to Darnell, Darnell's trying to, you know, he's firing back the whole time. We got to stop Darnell. Darnell, just let them just live. You know what I'm saying? And I know that personally from the other show that I'm on now that is on a larger platform. It's like I have to stop myself or check myself or disengage in a conversation where I'm in a DM with somebody like, yo, bro, you don't know me like that. Like, I will meet you in real life and fucking hurt you, my boy. Like, because people through the internet will say insane things, hurtful things. And I'm sure if they found out things about him, if they know that he has mental health issues, people like picking with. It's like that
they'll
kid
almost
that
push harder.
Yeah, that's like fucking with a dog through a steel fence.
Yeah.
And a kid poking at him and shit because they feel like this fence is there. Now, a dog's not going to go and hang himself, but a human will. And people have to take responsibility and understand, like, what it's evil to do. You know what I'm saying? Unless you want to look at yourself as evil.
We got to remember that the people on, we call those keyboard warriors, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or internet tough guys, but like we got to really remember, and this goes out to everybody that watches our show, to everybody that plays video games, is like, whoever you're calling me names on the other side of that Call of Duty scoreboard, they're people too.
Yeah.
And they have emotions, they have feelings, and you know what? You just lost to them, so maybe you ain't happy with them right now. But like, there's like jokingly mean, and then there's just like horrible.
Yeah.
Just remember, they're people too. Me and AJ here, we play fighting games. We get heated, but like,
we're
best friends in the end. And we know not to go too far, yeah. Even though sometimes we definitely go too far.
but I know it comes from a place of love. And the other thing is, once you reach a certain level of popularity, like, you know what they say, more money, more problems.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can have like a million fans, and it's easy to think, oh, that guy has all this money, has millions of fans. Like, you know,
what you could got millions of haters.
Yeah, you have millions of haters. The spotlight doesn't hug back. You know what I mean?
And do understand that those people that say, man, I love you. I love your show, man. I love Gamer Central. This shit is so dope. You hear 10 of those. The 10 good ones do not compare to that one dude. I promise you, that goes on there like, y'all don't know fucking shit about video games. Like, you fucking dudes annoy the fuck out of me. You're a bitch. You're a fag. You're this. You're that. You're...
Yeah.
That one comment will supersede because we tend to look at the negative. That's what we chime in on. How many times do you leave a restaurant, love the service, and go home and actually fill out that thing? Hardly ever. But let that lady be a terrible person and spilled your drink and fucking overcharged you. Then you call and complain because people tune in on the negative. So people, please have some fucking compassion. Mm-hmm. Don't be an evil motherfucker through the internet, because if you're evil on the internet, you're evil in real life. You're just a coward. So you don't do it face to face. But as soon as you get, you're the motherfucker that'll spit in somebody's food. You know, when they're not looking, you're that type of weak person, and people are losing their lives out here from the internet bullying for kids that are in high school, stuff that have nothing to do with this subject. You know what I mean? But people have to put up with that shit, and the shit you put on the internet is permanent. So that's another thing that makes it hard to escape from is, wow, this person insulted me. And not only did he insult me, he insulted me in front of everybody else in my comment section. This many people liked that rude comment. You know, stuff like that, man. Like, you, people have to grow up as human beings. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, how many people need to, like, you know, have mental breakdowns? How many people need to die until we learn some fucking compassion, dude? Like, you know, like, it's one thing to give constructive criticism. It's another thing to be a complete and utter cunt. It's like, it's not cool. And at the end of the day, with these huge, like, you know, Twitch celebrities, as they get bigger and bigger, they stop looking at them as people. And they don't think of them as people. They think of them as entertainment, as things that they can critique.
If anything, to kind of back off of that, or to kind of, you know, follow up with that, it's idolism. It's basically like, we used to use that with celebrities. Like, yo, oh man, look at that guy on the big screen. He has such like focus, poise, prestige about him and everything. I want to be like that. But now we're in an age with the rapid rise of the internet and the rapid rise of video games as well, with those two things converging. Now our YouTube content creators and now our Twitch streamers are now those guys. You see guys like Ninja, for example. He's like idolized. He has all these people coming up to him, all these fans. PewDiePie as well. He's getting sponsorships by all these big companies. I want to be like that next, no matter what, because he's doing it a certain way. I want to follow in his footsteps. But also, again, with the rise of the internet as well, you just have so many ways, just like with the industry, with the entertainment industry, just different ways to try to cut as many people as possible down. And I think that with everything that happened with Etika, with the fact that he was, you know, those who thought he was trolling because he was in a serious situation, and all people wanted to comment is, oh, he didn't do it, he's a faker. Like, oh, he didn't do this, he's just looking for attention, mm-hmm. like you were mentioning as well, mm-hmm. just the attention seeking. And then the fact that, you know, nobody could find him. There were certain points where he went missing for a day and then he was found, everything seemed to be okay. And then the week before his passing, where he just completely disappeared off the radar, nobody could find him until they found his belongings in near the bridge in Manhattan. Then it was just like, oh shit, now like this is now those who kind of either went that far, or those mm-hmm. who were scared for him, have now had to come to the realization that we lost, you know, who we were attacking.
I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we could look at ourselves in the mirror, every single person sitting at this table. Where do you draw the line then in trolling? Because it can't be a favoritism on a person based off of their celebrity. So like when somebody goes on to, like, I want y'all to really hear what I'm saying.
Okay.
When someone goes on to, let's say, Etika's page, and he said they're not giving constructive criticism, they're saying an insult to something, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not being nice about it. They're not just saying, hey, man, I think you should do this, right? That person might feel that insult in a certain way. So how does the person feel that works on the Sonic the Hedgehog movie and is the head of the design, and he designs that 3D Sonic the Hedgehog, and we, meaning me, you, whoever, yeah, goes online and says, that fucking Sonic the Hedgehog sucked. It's the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Because that, believe you me, it's not generated magically from a computer.
Right.
There's a guy with a job who gets fired, clowned on at work, everything. No one's on there like, I just think they need to work on the graphics a little bit more. It just needs this. We're literally bombarding the internet. I've done it on Thundercats.
Yeah.
Roar. That shit had so many thumbs down that did it ever come out?
I think they might have canceled it.
Yeah, they might have.
The insults were crazy.
Yeah.
But just because we can't see the face of the person who does it, like he's not a celebrity, there's a dude that's losing his job. He's looking like a fool. He got to come home, I'm not working on Sonic anymore, or whatever the case may be. Where now, if you can't be blunt, mm-hmm, or whatever you want to call it, where do we draw the line? Are we wrong for calling people?
I feel like the line is very clearly drawn at separating the content from the content creator. Mm-hmm. You said, like, hey, like, roasting the Sonic the Hedgehog design. Like, I was one of those. I was making those, like, bad memes, too.
Yeah, that design was pretty scary.
Yeah, so it's like, but like at the same time, I wasn't looking up the name of the person who designed it and then making insults about that person specifically.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? If I wrote a song and everyone hated the song, that's bad. If I wrote a song, everyone hated it, and then you start attacking me as a person and, like, you know, making jokes like, oh, you're not going to jump off the cliff,
your song
et cetera,
sucks.
Et cetera.
No. Suck worse.
Now that's bad, there. But even if they're sitting there like, this song is the fucking worst shit ever, it's fucking garbage. Straight garbage. People feel like something they create that comes from them is them.
It's like
that's
an
just
extension.
The nature of an artist. Like, bro, this comes out of my being and in my physical work to create this. So it starts to become very hard, too, because I want to address all those issues if you're really thinking about it. That, let me ask any of you motherfuckers, if we was walking through, who makes this, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Who's making it? I believe it's Paramount, I think, is making a Sonic
Would
the Hedgehog movie.
Would we as party nerds walk through the Paramount studio and they show us the design, and will we sit there and be like, I think that joint is trash, straight to their faces? Let's keep it 100.
I think we would talk amongst ourselves, but if we're standing in front of a board, like the board of directors, we wouldn't.
Correct. So in that same case, we'll say it on their Sonic the Hedgehog page, but we won't say it straight to their face.
Unless they're asking for it.
All right. Who would be, if anything, the one person in our crew that would say it?
Myself.
You? You think you would say that?
No. I mean, I thought the question was,
I would say
who would be the most likely person that would want to step up?
No. Who would say it?
No.
Who the fuck would say
you,
it?
You, probably.
No. That's a fact. If it was, it would be me. And to keep it up, and I'm saying this to say, being honest, I don't see myself saying that. Even with me, it would be like, yeah, but I got to tell them that. Almost that thing, like, you don't got nothing nice to say. Your mom taught you. Like, you don't got nothing nice to say. Don't say anything. So that's where it does get, man. The fans at home don't separate them. They do make a big separation. It's almost like the person's not human, or their work doesn't come from a human once they see it on whatever box or screen gives them entertainment.
Right.
It's like that dude isn't a human, or they feel like he should be susceptible to my insults because he's rich and he gets all the good parts. Like, people really dehumanize people, man.
Here's the other thing about it, and kind of going back to your example using Paramount and the Sonic movie and Sega and everything else. I think the one comparison that I can give is that with the Sonic, we're insulting something that is something that we respect as a fan base for a popular medium. In terms of, like, the Sonic video game franchise,
right,
we always talk about the games and everything else and how the Sonic fan base is very loyal, very diehard, but very, very vocal as well. So I think with the Sonic movie, the first design, when the trailer went up, all of us gave a collected laugh about what we saw. Yes, we understand that, and we had to pitch our ideas. And ultimately, the board decided, yes, we're going to change it. We're going to do everything we can to make it the movie for game for Sonic fans.
Because the internet kicked their fucking ass.
So it went to February. But also think of who we're insulting. We're insulting the character design, not necessarily the people involved with it. With a situation with Etika or with any Twitch streamer or with any popular YouTube channel, especially those who have multiple.
They are the product.
They are they are the product. So it becomes it's a different kind of attack. You're attacking the person's like personality. You're attacking who they are, where you feel that no matter who that person is, because you don't know them, you're giving yourself the opportunity to basically bring them down a peg or two, especially because they're in a situation where they're bigger than you because they have a public platform to do it with, regardless of how open it is for even us to do it. When you see that number next to their subscriber count, when you get to the million plus, it gives you even more of a reason to kind of embolden yourself and say something about it. Whereas with video game franchises, especially with movies, with other products, yes, we insult comic book movies, we insult video game movies, we insult video games as well, but we're insulting the medium because we're very passionate about the things we like, which, you know, sometimes there may be those who are half and half. Some people like it, some people don't.
Right.
Some are universally loved or some are universally hate it, but it's a passion about the medium. And we know that, of course, with these games, there's always a big corporation behind it. There's shareholders, there's a board of directors, there's the programmers, there's the marketing team. There's a whole bunch of different people that go along with it. And for the most part, none of us have any ill will towards them. There may be some hardcores that may, but that's a whole different story. That's a very small, minute comparison. When you're looking at Twitch, when you're looking at YouTube, the more you see the number grow in the thousands, the more emboldened those become to try to bring them down to say, oh, wow, you're getting a lot of people that actually like you. Then you're not human. I'm going to make sure I bring you down to a human level. And to Etika's point, when we bring it back to Etika, he was going through a situation where it just seemed like so many other outside circumstances. He could have probably been dealing with this for a long period of time before all these events over the last year happened. We wouldn't have known about it. You mentioned that. We don't know the person's past history. We shouldn't. There's no reason why something like that
should be private for the most part.
Right, exactly. You keep that stuff private. But as soon as he started going through these ordeals, then it seemed like the worst started to come out in those who were fans who were just like, oh, you know, this is just another Etika stun. You know, he's always wild and crazy, so he's probably just doing something just for the lulz. Or it emboldens more of the trolls that you see on YouTube. But now they're seeing this guy who's like completely breaking down in front of our very eyes and are looking to see how far can it go.
And sometimes people don't believe in people. See, sometimes the reason why people are insulting you is because they're like, how dare you come on this platform and threaten to kill yourself and do all of that shit? You're corny. They don't really think. Their real desired effect is not for that man to jump off of a building. They really just think you're a loser for playing on the whole you're going to do that part, because people don't really take into consideration that person could really have that, you know, going on in his mind.
Yeah, the drive
like,
to
they
do it.
Really try to look. People don't know how to really stand in somebody else's shoes.
So when we live in a culture where someone's like, in my opinion, very clearly cries for help, comes off as attention seeking, that's always going to lead to a very dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. If it's like, you're making jokes about, you know, being sad all the time, you're making jokes about, you know, death all the time and how life doesn't matter, and then people are like egging you on, they're just like, oh, he's looking for attention. Eventually it's going to reach a boiling point. Mm-hmm. And the other thing when it comes to mental illness, you can develop mental illness later in life.
Absolutely.
That doesn't necessarily have to be something he's been dealing with his entire life. Sometimes, on average, a lot of these things, like, you know, depression, things like that, hit in your, like, early 20s or, like, you know, 30s. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, these things could have gotten – he could have developed these things, and they could have been, like, exponentially, like, escalated because of his public status. And then when he was, like, saying all these right things, like – because, like, when people have mental illness, a lot of times they don't want to go for help, or they feel like they need to skirt around it. Like, one of the one of the things people do when they're suicidal is that they do things that are considered self-destructive. Like, you know, they quit their job, they run, like, they burn bridges and things like that. They make it easier to, like, kill themselves because they have no safety net. They make it so they have nothing left to live for. The second he uploaded porn on his YouTube channel, that was the biggest fucking red flag, dude. And just, like, a lot of people reached out. I'm not going to say that. A lot of, like, of his friends and family, things like that. But then when he started blocking them on Twitter and isolating himself, like, that was a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, the medical, like, you know, industry failed him. But at the end of the day, if someone wants to die, it's you can only do so much. You can only help yourself. People,
yeah, do they just
run
in people's houses and just snatch every person that they deem to be and just lock them in a cage?
They, it's like it they legally cannot.
Right. So, yeah. So that's the thing that people have to, because the same way people will bully, they'll go and bully the hospital, dude. If they knew the doctor that let him go and that doctor had a fucking Instagram, they'll be in his comments. You killed Etika. You did this. You're supposed to do this. Because people just want to be mean to people, bro. Yeah.
Well, they want a like a way to vent their frustration. And, you know, our heart goes out to anybody who is affected by this. You know, we know people out there, like, they genuinely do. Because for every person that does go out there and troll, there are people who do care. Unfortunately, sometimes the ones who want to break you down are louder voices than those who are trying to support you. Because, like we talked about earlier, actually, something they taught me, I work at Comcast, one thing they taught us, and then this is just kind of like a sales thing, for every one bad interaction somebody has with a company or a person, it sometimes takes five good interactions to make up for that one bad one. So we do hold, even with all the studies they do to figure out why this marketing works, like, they got to, humans do hold on to negative emotions longer than we hold on to positive ones.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just please remember, if we can sum this all up, just remember that whoever you're yelling at on the internet, there's a person on the other side of that controller, keyboard, Twitch screen, whatever you're saying. And they have feelings and emotions just like you do. And maybe you don't have feelings and emotions if you're saying some of this mean shit, but they do. So, like, be kind.
And even if you don't have feelings and emotions, right, as far as you care about other people, let's say you're just a dickhead. If you're a dickhead, at least have fear. When you push people in certain ways, you don't know what reaction you're going to get. This time, this man hurt himself. But some people will hurt you.
Yeah.
They or will others. Hurt other people. Mm-hmm. Stop fucking with people for no reason. Stop being mean to people, because you're not always going to get your desired result. This man was in a hurt position. He made threats while being, you know, out of it or whatever the case may be. He made some, I mean, he made some very heavy threats, correct?
He said he was the Antichrist and he had nukes and he was going to set them off. Like, that is, that's,
I mean, obviously,
a wild
he don't.
Thing to do.
I mean, obviously, he doesn't, but even figuratively, he could have been easily a guy that goes into a building with an M16. A guy that goes and does the, I mean, this could,
the stories you hear about, like, stuff like Parkland or Orlando or anything,
anywhere,
else.
Even something small like YouTube shooter, you know, these things can happen. And people, I just don't understand why, like, kids in school still, because this is not just about this guy. This is about a grand bullying issue. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times people keep hearing about dudes shooting up schools, this, that, and the third, they're still making fucking fun of the trench coat kid. They're still just like, look at this fucking loser. This is like, look at me. They'll even make jokes like, oh, you look like a goddamn school shooter. It's like, bro, you might be first on that list. Shut the fuck up. Let that man be himself. Let that man be. If you were trying to help that man, befriend that man, give that man some kind of encouragement, that's something salutable. But judging him, laughing at him, clowning on him, making funny shit, posting it up on your on the internet, and he got to go to school. What result are you really looking for is the question you got to ask yourself. Is this just a laugh? But where could this laugh go? Do you want this person to harm themselves? Do you want this person to harm you or another person?
It's just we want to find a way to get, like, in terms of a negative type culture, it's all about that kind of validation to yourself, even if it's not for anybody else. It gets worse when there's more than one of you, of course. Like, if you're in a group of people and you sit and laugh at somebody, yes, you know, you have that internally with schools or when you're walking around the mall or anything else like that. This situation, it was thousands of people. Like, just this mob mentality of, like, one voice now becomes thousands of voices that are trying to share the same opinion, that are trying to push an agenda. And at this point, it was one of the contributing factor that just pushed it way too far. And sadly, we lost somebody because of that. like this particular person was lost just because of a few different things. His own personal struggles, the fact that a community wanted to see how far it could go without really acknowledging, man, like, you know, this is something that we should change. And of course, we could blame the medical industry, but it's hard to do that because there are protocols that are in place for mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it's hard to really say one way or the other where that's going to go. But I think it's just the mentality of, think about this. I have a couple of devices here that are accessible to basically anything I want to do. And it's hard to really see like that kind of growth when I see kids with devices in their hands who have the ability to, you know, share in our medium, but then also possibly destroy it because you could start young, ready to see these crazy games or see those crazy videos about people doing stuff that are just wilding out. And it's all tied to video games, regardless of what it is. So it's a hard situation to kind of like put, you know, define it. And we've done our best here to kind of go into it a lot more. And to kind of end it on a note, of course, you know, rest in peace to Desmond. Thank you for everything that you've given us, you know, all the laughs, all the fun times you had, just the passion for video games.
Joy-Con boys for life. No bitch niggas. Joy-Con boys for life.
And real quick, man, what people can do, you can't be their family member. You can't go there. You don't have access to the hospital. You can't do all of that. Words of encouragement. Sincere words of encouragement. Not just like, yeah, you're dope at this game, whatever the case. When you see those negative comments, if you really love that personality, leave a heartfelt, real, a positive comment. Mm-hmm. So it's right next to that person that says, you fucking suck. Just be like, yo, man, you are super inspiration. We fuck with you heavy. I watch you every day. I don't know what this loser's talking about. You're that dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We love you. Please put up more video because I want to see that mixed in there with him. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until afterwards. We got to stop waiting until afterwards where now you're going to see this dude's face all up and down. You know what? You don't got to, if you're a fan of somebody, you don't got to wait till they die to throw up their picture and say, this dude right here keeps me entertained every day. I fuck with him 100%. We love Etika. We love whoever. That needs to be more in our culture as people, period. Yeah. Because people really do love people, and you find out how much they love them when they die.
Yeah.
They could really show you shit, though. They'll really show you, like, pictures of them with the shirts on, with the stuff on, like, from before the person died. They were real fans, but they might have not have pulled. Yo, you see that person going through that shit? If you're a Chris Brown fan, you see him looking like he on the edge of his man, put up them Chris Brown pictures. With you and him at the concert, do you got to meet him that time? Them videos talk about, yo, I love this dude right here. He's MJ, he's this, whatever. Please do that for our people that we love through the internet, man.
Yeah. Just to kind of wrap a bow on this topic, the last thing I want to put out there is, of course, if anybody's listening, we've been posting this a lot, a lot of us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram as well. For those who are going through anything in life, just know that there's never a moment where you're alone. There's always somebody who can help you, a friend, a family member, a loved one, any person who wants to give you that positivity on the internet, online as well. And lastly, of course, want to give out this number as well. It's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-273-8255. They do have an online chat. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's free. It's confidential. That way, if you need a voice, just to make sure to help you, like, hey, listen, I'm going through something and I need that words of encouragement to know that I can get through this. There's always a voice that can be out there to give you that love, to give you that support, to give you what you need to kind of, you know, get everything back on track, because everything in life is recoverable. There's always a way to kind of get back on the right track, to get, you know, everything with your life up and running. And there's always outlets out there to do that, for sure. So thank you, Etika. We do, you know, we love you down here. Everybody in the gaming community loves you. Rest in peace, man. Definitely. I know it's definitely going to be a quick turnaround to get into the other things.
I feel like there's no good transition.
There's no good transition.
Go to anything. To be honest.
I have a couple topics I would like to cover real quick. Is that cool with everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a very somber note we have there.
It's a tough discussion to go through, but you know, these are the conversations we want to have, you know, in our gaming community, because we don't have them often enough, and they should not be brought up in tragedy. Of course, So I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of this conversation, you know, brings change to how we kind of view Twitch as a medium, how we kind of view, you know, the online gaming community as its own medium. So hopefully those changes do come out. And then, you know, sometime soon we hear about the things in a positive manner as well. So I'm definitely going to see where we can get to there. But we at least can get a chance to get into, you know, a couple of different topics as well.
Actually, a good topic to do a complete 180.
Go ahead.
It's like, what was that Twitch stream that raised $3 million for charity?
That was Awesome Games or Summer Games Done Quick, which is an amazing stream. They do, I believe, twice a year. They do Summer Games Done Quick and they do
the Awesome Games Done Quick.
Awesome Games Done Quick, which I believe is winter. Check it out. Donate to their cause. It's an amazing cause. I'm sure there's a game you'll like on there. I actually did not get a chance myself to watch it this year, but I know it was either this year or last year. They like totally broke Pokemon. They put Twitch chat on screen through like a Pokemon ROM with some really crazy hacking. They do tool assisted runs. They do any percent runs, which are my favorite, which is where you break the game to finish it as quickly as you possibly can. And then they do 100% runs where you have to finish everything in the game. So 100% check them out. I think they're done.
Yeah, they finished it last week. They have a YouTube channel. It's called Games Done Quick. It's uploading streams as much as possible just from the different people who came up to record their gameplay as well as, you know, record all the donations that came through. They got a total of over $3 million that was donated to charity. This year's charity was Doctors Without Borders.
It was the biggest one they've ever done.
Last year, they only did $2 million. So it's a whole, cool 50% increase.
And they give away prizes and stuff.
They do give away prizes.
Definitely check them out. Check out when they do Awesome Games Done Quick later this year when we swing back around to winter in December. Definitely check them out. And, you know, donate for a game that you like. Or a streamer that you like. If you've never really been into speedrunning, check it out. It's fun. Look up a good way to start is look up Cosmo's runs of Ocarina of Time. One of the best Ocarina of Time runners. And it's a really interesting game to watch them glitch that game out and fly through it. You go from like the beginning of the game, like literally the boss of the first dungeon, straight to the end of the game in Ganon's
castle. They literally just break it in half. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Just amazing. Like a lot of things you can do. Like I remember I was at a GamerCon here in New Jersey, South Jersey, and there was a guy who was actually recording a Twitch stream. It was the first time I ever saw a live stream of like a game done quick, a speed run. It was for Pokemon Gold.
Oh, I love it.
And it was just fascinating just sitting there in the room. Like I was there for like only a half hour or so, but it was just fascinating just watching how just the finite technique in terms of like how to specifically name Pokemon or specifically travel to different towns just to be able to, you know,
do
crash the game and win. And he also recorded as he had certain landmarks as well where you can kind of see like, hey, this is this area, this is that area.
And see how he's pacing against the world record in real time.
Or even his own record. And it's just amazing. Like just a lot of things that you can see with how people like play their games in such a different way than what you're traditionally used to. That's the point about these games done quick. It's just that fascination with, you know, gaming in a different way, but also supporting a good cause.
So real quick, I want to cover some other topics because we're running low on time, aren't we?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so real quick, we have I have two topics I'd really like to cover. So the first one, this came out today. G2A was what we're covering for a moment. G2A is a key reseller. If you've never heard of them, they suck. They suck. Awful. And I'm going to tell you why they suck. So a couple indie developers came out on Twitter and straight up said, if you're going to buy from G2A, we would rather you just pirate our game. That's how bad it is. Now, whether you support or are against game piracy, we're going to kind of take that out of the conversation. But the point being, I guess people would say that, you know, piracy for developers is bad. You know, they'd lose money. Well, in the case of if you buy a game from G2A, they don't just not make money. They have to pay money because the way this works is people will buy these games with stolen credit cards. And then once the credit card company reports it as stolen, the game developer has to pay the back charge for the keys that were sold. G2A just sells the keys for people. So people will go buy like 100 of this key with a stolen credit card for a new game and then sell it on their site. That person gets to pocket the money and the person who made the game, the company that made the game, is just fucked in that situation. So I just wanted to cover that real quick. It looks like
dude, that's see, that's
Rage
awful.
Squid and
yeah, there's a lot.
No robots.
So that's like if you own a donut shop.
No more
shop,
robots.
Someone yeah. steals a donut from the donut shop, and it isn't just like, ooh, I lost the profit from that donut. You then have to give money to someone else for the donut that someone else stole.
Yeah,
that you it's fucked up, dude.
It's bullshit.
It's so awful, man.
Oh, yeah. And the reason this is coming up actually is because G2A bought unswitchable sponsored ads that will show up first in front of other listings. So right now, if you search one of No More Robots games, which is called Descenders, which is, I believe, a game about mountain biking. So, you know, I don't know if you're into that, but it's a game that they made that they are selling that people are buying.
They put heart and time into it. They trying to make a living off of it.
It literally will show up before the Steam listing on, if you search Google. And you can't turn these ads off without ad blockers. So some ads you can actually switch off. Maybe you don't want to see ads from G2A. A lot of the times you can switch ads off. You can't switch these off. So it's just, it's crazy. So they're literally having their money stolen and the site that they don't promote people stealing these games, but that's kind of what they're selling. They're like a fence of sorts for these games is being promoted on Google. So screw G2A. We don't like them. Moving on to the next topic real quick.
So yeah, we'll cover one more topic because I know we only have about like 10 minutes or so to go, and it's like Netflix. So of course we know
I thought you were going to say Pokemon. But
I thought we were going to talk about loot boxes.
No, we're not talking about loot boxes.
Own,
no, fuck that.
That's its
that
own
is,
show.
That is a ninth circle of hell conversation.
Not really.
If we want everything to devolve into absolute shit, then yeah, we'll talk about loot boxes.
How?
We have to wait for Pete and Marcus to get here to talk about loot boxes, because only then will you guys know true hell. but because like I read these guys just like ran about fucking loot boxes
oh
for like
my God.
2 hours in a chat.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh my God, guys, shut up. We get it. Loot boxes are bad. End topic. Continue, Ed.
Wait, so, but now we've already talked about it.
No, we didn't talk about it. So we can end this on Pokemon.
Just No, we can talk about The Witcher. It's okay. More recent. Like,
let's talk about The Witcher. I like The Witcher.
The Witcher dropped their images for
the
upcoming show.
We have that on Insta?
It did drop, I believe, on their official page, I want to say. I'm curious to see how they're going to do this, because it's a very, I wouldn't say it's a niche kind of game, but it's going to be interesting to see how they convert it into like a series.
Read the book.
I heard that everything's off of the book as well.
Yeah, it's based on the book. So it'll be really good.
The Netflix show is based off the book or the video game adaptation of the book?
The video game is not an adaptation of the book.
So which one is this based off of? Because he looks a lot like the video game character.
Well, the character looks the same. The character is based off of the book, but the story of the game and the story of the book are different. The book, I believe, I haven't finished them all, but I believe the book has a definitive ending. There's also a comic somewhere out there, I think. It's all really good. The thing that The Witcher does best is world building. So I'm excited to see what they do for this Netflix series. I think it's going to be awesome.
So is it confirmed to be based off the book storyline?
Book. So they talked about the plot of season one. They said it's going to be specific about the books.
Okay.
But a lot of the imagery that they're going to use on screen is going to be game related, just because that's the imagery that we have, of course.
So they're going to kind of like merge the two a little bit.
I think so. Yes. I think it's going to be definitely a mix of the two, specifically in terms of like, you know, world building with the imagery of the games, but also the storyline would be based on the novel.
That reminds me of that classic song, Best of Both Worlds. Yes. All time classic.
Are you a closet Miley Cyrus fan?
Don't worry about it.
he every time I get in the car, he puts on Miley Cyrus and I go, AJ! Not again!
I do it just to troll Seth. You know, I know it gets to him.
At what point is it trolling?
Don't
it every time.
Don't.
Is it still trolling?
If I get the same response every time, yeah.
I think he just likes Miley Cyrus.
Don't worry about it.
Have you been to a Hannah Montana concert and you didn't tell us?
I have not been to a Hannah
Montana
concert.
So those concerts we've seen on your Instagram Live, they're actually Hannah Montana concerts.
The roast of AJ.
Listen, she is Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Not Hannah Montana. There's a difference. I've never been to a Hannah Montana concert.
But okay. We got it. We know what's up.
So we got five more minutes left. I'm going to be curious. I don't know if they actually announced a release date for The Witcher that I know of.
It's coming out sometime this year. And I think they also announced that it's eight episodes long.
It is eight episodes,
which is pretty
short. For first season.
I think it's going to be really cool. Like, it's, I'm telling you, man, I read the book. I haven't read all of them, but it's really cool universe. The games are really good. Now, the company that makes the games, it's on a lot of people's radar right now. A lot of you, I feel like, maybe skipped The Witcher, but it's great. It's CD Projekt Red. They're doing Cyberpunk. They're known for putting a lot of time into a game to the point where The Witcher was delayed, I believe. And then, you know, they were like, well, we need a little more time to polish it. And nobody was mad because when that game came out,
oh my God,
it was good. And now it's coming to the Switch. So even though the people that didn't get to play it will get to play it in like 720p. which I will say is a play it on a real, like,
play it on a real console.
Yeah, not that the Switch isn't a real console, but like play it on something that can
powerful console. You can play that game in 4K.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But you know what? If that's your only way you can experience it, go for it.
So wait, who's the showrunner of The Witcher? I think that's going to be the deciding factor of how hype I get. Henry Cavill looks good enough, in my opinion. I think he should have grown a beard, but whatever. That's a personal taste. But like, who's actually like making this shit? Like, Netflix is just like giving them money, but like they're not the creative force behind it. You know what I mean?
Let's see. The TV series was created by Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich. She worked on shows like Parenthood, West Wing, and Daredevil.
Okay.
The actual novelist is going to be a consultant.
Okay,
that's cool.
The guy, all I heard was Daredevil and the original creator. So like,
I hope he took royalties this time, because last time what happened was with the game, he took a lump sum payment instead of. So CD Projekt Red, or the company that became CD Projekt Red, was like, hey, do you want royalties or do you want like a lump sum? And he was like, well, I'll take a lump sum. And then the games ended up being bigger than the books ever were. And just recently, I think as of like the beginning of this year, they gave him like a whole bunch of money because
they were like,
we feel bad about this. Like,
there was a whole talk about like him like, oh man, I should have signed on for more money and I want to go get more. And then I think they worked it out.
They gave him like $100,000 and then it went on to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
And
so
then
like,
he was like salty about it. You can't really blame him. Oh, but real quick, we're on the topic of Netflix. Another one that I know a couple of us are really looking forward to, Devil May Cry. And the director from Devil May Cry, and who also did the Castlevania series, put a picture on Twitter, or was it Insta? I don't remember which or which.
Facebook,
with
I think,
a,
actually.
Bloodborne comic and a Devil May Cry comic.
I saw that.
And we're not really sure what he's doing with it, said research, I guess. we don't know what he's doing. I'm hoping that.
So have you ever read those two Devil May Cry 3 comics?
Are they good?
They are. Here's the thing.
I didn't read them.
There were supposed to be three of them,
the
but then it got canceled.
The Bloodborne one's cool. I read that.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. But it's like, it has like this weird like gothic art style and with this like incredibly violent and well-drawn imagery and things like that, which almost reminds me, like, I guess in a way, you can kind of run a parallel to Bloodborne a little bit.
That might be why. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Like, maybe if he's drawing inspirations from Bloodborne and Devil May Cry to create his own thing. Because he definitely took the source material of Castlevania and made it his own thing that was generally well-respected by everyone who liked Castlevania.
Yeah, I think everyone, I don't know anybody that didn't like it.
Especially with Season 3 coming out soon.
Maybe like it was too violent for some people, but it was. The animation was good. The story writing seemed pretty good. The way he did the characters were pretty good. Yeah. The voice actors were good. There was nothing I complained about it.
At this point, though, he has literally done nothing bad. All of his bootleg shorts, fire. You know, like Judge Dredd fucking slaps. Castlevania, ooh wee, my nigga. I trust you not to fuck up Devil May Cry because I love it. I love it.
Ooh. Yeah, don't do an Evangelion on us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Netflix, why? If you're out there, there's got to be one person at Netflix or like who works for Netflix. Like, yo, tell them why. Did you know the whole original cast of that show, the original voice acting cast, wanted to come back for it and Netflix said no?
Yeah, because they suck.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we got a couple minutes left. They totally changed some crucial parts of that show that change it. And people aren't happy.
They are not happy.
It's a show that's been out for almost 25 years, I think. The source material is not new. It's been out there. And they still decided to localize it and translate it, change it for some reason. I don't know why.
It's like Netflix is hit or miss, you know?
I guess they never miss, huh?
But
oh no.
But I'm optimistic. I guess they can fuck up whatever they want as long as they don't mess up.
Don't mess
Cowboy
up. Don't
Bebop.
Make
don't oh. no no no. Devil May Cry. Like,
I don't have high hopes for that.
Yeah, listen.
I love Cowboy Bebop, but live action.
This is not the anime hour. We have to bring it back.
Netflix, though.
Eventually, we'll talk about it. But definitely, I'm going to be curious to see what they do with The Witcher, what they do with Devil May Cry, if that comes out, Castlevania Season 3. There's a lot of, like, video game medium on Netflix that's actually really good if you, like, besides the all these movies that are coming out for gaming.
I will say Castlevania might be, like, one of the first times video game video games have translated to film or animation of some kind really well. I can't think of any other, like, Resident Evil, the first movie I liked, but then it kind of went downhill from there. There was the Doom movie, which was just not good.
Yeah.
So, like, how often do we get good video game content on, like, the silver screen? Like, when does it happen?
Also, Netflix and Addy, the guy behind Castlevania.
That guy. That one guy, we can't pronounce his name.
He is doing a Hyper Life Drifter TV show, or he's producing one. Oh, he's producing it, yeah.
So I loved that game. And so, I made Marcus play that game, and he also loved it. If you haven't played it, go do it.
I feel like
so
we need to have, like, an entirely separate podcast at some point in the near future. Probably after, like, Comic-Con, after I see the Witcher footage at San Diego and things like that.
Oh, yeah,
I'll come
yeah.
back, give my opinion, and we can have an entire episode about translating video games into movies and the do's and the don'ts. Because at this point, for the longest time, we had nothing objectively
We're
good.
Eventually getting
now
Metal
we have a
Gear.
Good now things
we have
on things. Our
like exactly.
That. We have Castlevania. That was really good. Detective Pikachu was pretty solid. If The Witcher looks promising, we could talk
we're
about it.
We're in the age where the 3D stuff is getting good enough where it's okay. And we're getting Metal Gear soon, too.
Metal Gear.
So look, there's so much stuff that was going on in gaming. Of course, with the, you know, we started with a somber note, but we ended with a lot of good stuff that's also coming out. You know, a lot of
gotta have
positives
some
on the gaming community. But that wraps up everything for Party Nerds Gamer Central for this week. Of course, Pete, Marcus, they couldn't join us this week.
They're watching Spider-Man.
They are watching.
I can't blame them.
Yo,
they'll be back. Bitches. They'll be back eventually when we do our next Gamer Central as well. If you guys are looking for more Gamer Central content, of course, check out our archives on SoundCloud.com/PartyNerds. You can find all of our E3 reviews as well with all the craziness that happened a couple of weeks ago in June. And, of course, just keep an eye on our Instagram as well, Instagram.com/ThePartyNerds, as well as Instagram.com/GamerCentralNerds.
Check us out on Gamer Central Nerds.
A lot of other stuff could be coming
also,
down the pipeline
for us.
Also, if you
have any suggestions on a different name other than Gamer Central, just drop that shit in the comments below, please. We are like,
we're struggling. Yeah.
You can reach out to us directly if you want to. Let us know. Anything you want us to know for the Party Nerds Gaming.
If you name our show, I will send you a T-shirt and, like, some Pocky. Like, that's about all my budget can
we'll
afford
hold
right
them
now.
To it
but
yeah we will hold you
no,
to it.
No facts 100% if you give us a good name and we take it, I will definitely send you a t-shirt and some Pocky.
You
unless
take
you're like allergic
only.
To chocolate or some shit, then I'll give you some other candy, but let me know please.
Let us know. But otherwise, for myself, for Seth, for AJ,
what it do,
your boy Ed, Party Nerds Gamer Central for now is signing out. We will see you guys later. Thank you.